¿Y tú? ¿Cómo lo haces? Bienvenidos a Podcast Conmigo. El tema de hoy, nuevos datos sobre vacunación para VPH.
Bienvenidos a ¿Y tú? ¿Cómo lo haces? El Podcast Conmigo. Yo soy el doctor Juan Carlos López Jurado. Y el día de hoy tengo el gusto de tener conmigo al doctor Edward Mayú, de la Universidad del Sur de Carolina, de Columbia, obviamente en Estados Unidos, de Norteamérica, y él no habla español, así que voy a hacer la entrevista en inglés y de manera simultánea trataré de hacer una traducción con un breve resumen de las preguntas y de la información que nos está dando. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre nuevos datos que tienen que ver con la vacunación del virus del papiloma humano. Edward, glad to have you here again.
Appreciate being here.
So we're going to talk about new data regarding HPV vaccination.
Yes.
So what can you tell us about new data about
new data. HPV vaccination? So just looking at what's new, what's come out recently about vaccination. Of course, I'm sure most, if not all, your listeners know that the 9-valent HPV vaccine is out, or the 9-valent out. Which gives us HPV 16 and 18, which is the two most common cancer causers, the squamous cell and adenomatous cancers of the cervix. And then it's got the next five types that are the next highest risk. It also has type 6 and 11, which cause the majority of the genital warts. So there's a lot of studies being looked at, both at the older vaccines, the bivalent and the quadrivalent, and looking at the new vaccine and what's happening to these populations where vaccination has been doing well. Our best data by far, in my opinion, is coming out of Australia. They were the first to show that genital warts were decreasing massively in the vaccinated populations, which you would expect that to be first. It's the shortest time course. I happen to be friends with the head of the STD clinics in Sydney, and he has told me that when they see genital warts in that age group in Australia, that it's imported. They assume it's a visitor because the folks who've been vaccinated just don't get them. Okay. So they say, oh, you know, the Yanks are coming to visit because there's some condyloma. They now have data. The new data is about actually high-grade cervical disease. Okay. And they are seeing the rates of early HSIL plummet in their country. Right. Now, they have a high degree of vaccination. And as each cohort becomes of age, they have school-based vaccination. A lot of their population, over 70%, get vaccinated each year. As they become eligible through the government programs. And so very high rates of vaccination, which gives you the most protection. There are a lot of countries, I wish my country was anywhere close to what Australia is doing, because it is so impressive, the rates that they're dropping cervical disease.
Right. Let me just translate that. Platicando sobre los nuevos datos, bueno, lo que ya sabíamos, existen tres tipos de vacunas, básicamente, la bivalente, la tetravalente y la nonavalente, que es la más nueva. Se ha visto que sí hay una mejoría en lo que son los resultados por infección contra virus del papiloma y sobre todo contra la condilomatosis. En particular, el lugar donde él me dice que es como el estándar de oro es en Australia, porque tienen... los planes de vacunación ahí son, al parecer, de los mejores, al grado que prácticamente tienen erradicado la presencia de condilomatosis en la población oriunda, digamos, de Australia, y que cuando llegan a encontrarse algún caso de condilomatosis, normalmente hacen el chiste de que vinieron de visita los familiares o alguien, porque suele ser o consideran que suele venir de que es importado, de tan poquito que afección que tienen ya gracias a los esquemas de vacunación. Edward, quick question. There's this, I don't know if it's a rumor or if it's true data regarding I don't recall if it's a bivalent vaccine, that it was supposedly to need a reinforcement. I really can't recall if it was a bivalent or the tetravalent. Which one was the one that was supposed to have to need the reinforcement? Is that a thing?
Well, it's interesting because it's actually been brought up about both the quadrivalent and the
I thought my mind was
not at all.
All right.
And so the question really is, how long will the vaccine be effective?
Sure.
And we don't know that yet. Our best data to date says we don't need a booster. We have some very early studies looking at specifically HPV-16 as our oldest data vaccines. And so we have these sentinel cohorts that we are following so that one day we will probably, maybe, need a booster. Right now our modeling says no, but I won't assume no until the data gets there. But it's at least many years away from vaccination for most people. The other thing that's going to be interesting is to see, especially like in places like Australia, where we're interrupting the transmission of HPV. We're breaking the chain so that HPV is less common now. Will there be an effect on natural boosting? So think like chickenpox. When we first started vaccinating for chickenpox, we didn't need boosters. But over time, we suddenly started needing to, and that's because we made chickenpox so rare that there was no natural boosting. We don't know whether that would be an effect with HPV until we've had more time. The good news is it's not early, and the better news is we are following the early vaccinated people so that we'll know in plenty of time if a booster becomes necessary. As of right now, we're not recommending it. There's always a little bit of interesting data coming up here and there. I don't think any of it is convincing that we need boosters right now.
Okay, lo que nos está platicando, la pregunta que le hice es que existen algunos rumores o hay información que sale constantemente avisando si es que se van a estar un refuerzo sobre la bivalente o la tetravalente y qué opinión le merecía esto. Y lo que me dice es que, bueno, que efectivamente de ambas se ha discutido la posibilidad del refuerzo. Sin embargo, se ha quedado en eso, se ha quedado en únicamente que es una posibilidad. No ha sido necesario, ni es necesario hasta este momento. Ahora sí que sobre la marcha vamos viendo cómo va respondiendo la población a nivel mundial, literal, con la vacunación para el virus del papiloma. Y él lo que comenta es que muy parecido tal vez a alguna otra enfermedades para las que antes se vacunaba, que no se necesitaban los refuerzos y posteriormente fueron tan bajos los casos, había tan poquito que se alargaban mucho los periodos y bueno, ahí ya meritaba el que se hiciera el refuerzo. Entonces, lo más probable es que en algún momento se vaya a necesitar un refuerzo para este problema del virus del papiloma, pero que hasta este momento no hay nada definitivo. Another question, Edward. We know that the nonavalent vaccine, right, has, well, as its name implies, it's for 9 different types of HPV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do know that the tetravalent vaccine was tested for 4 different types of mm-hmm. HPV, right? So mm-hmm. legally, you can only say that vaccine was made for those 4 different types of HPV virus, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
Regardless of that, we discovered that it had a cross-immunology. I don't know if I'm making sense with
cross-protection.
Cross-protection, all right. That would be the right term, all right. Cross-protection. And it didn't cover just for 4 different types of HPV, but for a lot more, right? So I'm wondering, because I'm not an expert on that theme, is the nonavalent vaccine just the same as a tetravalent? Because in the end, I mean, they're protected for the same stuff, right? But
right.
Legally, I never said that it would protect for these 9 types. I just said it would protect for these 4 types, so mm-hmm. I cannot sell that as a 9-type vaccine. So am I making sense here?
Sure. Absolutely. It's a good right. question. If I go too deep, tell me.
Okay. No.
So, It's true that there is some evidence. It was not primary endpoint data for the most part. Mm-hmm. So secondary data. So it's always a little, it's not as good as science. But there is some data that says some of these vaccines do offer at least some protection, at least for a while, against some closely related types. So what we call the family of HPV types, sure, clades is the correct name. And so if you look at a family or a clade, if we get HPV 16 and we have cross protection, we would expect its close cousins like HPV 31 to maybe get some protection. Right. And there's some evidence that that could well happen. And there's some actually for both vaccines, but none of it is primary endpoint data, and we don't know how long it will last.
All right.
And we don't know if it's really as good as the immunity you get to the types that are in the vaccine.
16, 18.
So it's not so much about legality as which we really don't know. So it's hard to make a statement when we don't have good, solid data to support it. So it's likely, and this is where it gets into opinion now, mm-hmm, but it's likely that cross-protection gives some protection, but less than complete protection, less than to the viruses or the viral types it's made to do. And so the 9-valent takes the next 5 types and makes sure you get just as good immunity against them as you do against the original 2 cancer causers. Is actually
right.
What it's going to be.
Maybe a 16 and 18, right?
Right. And it gets more complicated if you drill down into the data, because the efficacy against some of those types is not quite as good as it is for 16 and 18. But it's close. It's close enough for government work, as we like to say.
Right.
And so, yes, there probably is a real advantage to the 9-valent vaccine over, depending on cross-protection. That having been said, in the United States, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, or ACIP, does not recommend that if you got the bivalent or quadrivalent vaccine, that you should be revaccinated. And the reason for that is because the bulk of the protection is 16 and 18. That's so, in reality, it may not be worth that extra bit if you've already had the full set of vaccinations. Now, I've also explained that to patients and have them tell me, I'll pay for it, I still want the 9-valent. And that's okay too. But from the public health standpoint, the experts don't feel like it's necessary from public health.
That was the next question. So let me just translate that.
Go for it.
Entonces, aquí básicamente le estoy preguntando sobre las diferentes vacunas y cómo, bueno, todos sabemos que está la bivalente y la tetravalente. Y posteriormente viene la nonavalente. Entonces, cuando surge la bivalente y la tetravalente, legalmente y bueno, FDA y demás, la saca para combatir estos 2 tipos o estos 4 tipos de virales, que básicamente son el 16 y 18. Y ese es como el grueso de la vacuna, o esa era la intención. Y sin embargo, todos al paso del tiempo y conforme se fue develando información, fuimos aprendiendo que había inmunidad cruzada, sobre todo con las cepas que tenían más, o que eran más cercanas, que eran más afines a los originales, estructuralmente hablando, ¿no? De tal suerte que, la pregunta iba un poco enfocada a la nonavalente. Es la misma vacuna previa, nada más que esta vez sí, legalmente o ya con estudios que hablara diciendo, bueno, me va a proteger contra estos 9 tipos, mientras que antes, como yo solo la lancé para que me protegiera contra 2 o 4 diferentes tipos, pues no tenía yo una base, un sustento legal, científico, que me lo avalara. Entonces lo que él me dice es que en realidad sí es una nueva vacuna, que me está dando que, bueno, para eso hay que entender algo, que la inmunidad cruzada sí me confiere cierta ventaja, pero no es igual de fuerte que la inmunidad que me da para el 16 o el 18, para lo que fue creado. De tal suerte que la vacuna, la nonavalente, sí está agregándome a esos, además de los 4 que ya tenía, los otros cinco con la misma potencia, con la misma capacidad que Palisades 18, etc. Entonces, sí es diferente. Y con esto viene la siguiente pregunta, que es, si yo tengo una paciente a la cual ya le puse Gardasil o Cervarix, ¿no? La bivalente o la tetravalente, ¿amerita ella que se le ponga la vacuna nonavalente? Y desde el punto de vista científico, no. La respuesta es no, no lo amerita. Pues como ya se había mencionado previamente, el grueso de la vacuna o la importancia de la vacuna va en relación a la cepa 16 y 18. Entonces ya tienes el grueso de la protección. Sin embargo, él comenta que en la medicina privada, pues están las pacientes que se acercan y te dicen, a mí no me importa que ya me hayas puesto ya esa vacuna, quiero que me pongas la otra porque quiero estar mejor protegida y yo pago por ella. Ah, bueno, se puede, se vale, no hay ninguna contraindicación en hacerlo y bueno, habrá quien lo está haciendo. So, Edward, anything else you would like to add regarding new data, regarding HPV vaccination?
So we're getting more and more data about how effective the vaccine is. It's extremely effective. There are groups who are against vaccination who like to raise questions and confusion in people's minds. Yeah. Although if you go to the folks who study it, who look at the questions and try to find good, unbiased answers, you will find that for the most part, those things do not pan out. They're not good science. They're often actually not even based in fact.
Right.
And so it's really one of the safest vaccines we have. So this is a cancer vaccine. This prevents cervical, vaginal, vulvar, head and neck cancers.
Sure.
So, you know, when we start talking about, oh, well, we might be worried about something may happen one day, versus we know people get cancer from this. From these viruses, and we can prevent that cancer. That's the perspective we have to think about, the big picture. And when you look at it from that way, you can prevent your child from getting cancer. The decisions become very easy.
Sure.
So think about it in that way.
All right, great, thanks. One last question.
Yes, sir.
Are you vaccinated?
I am not because I am an old man, so I don't. I'm too late.
No, I'm just joking.
Yes, my son is vaccinated, and all of my nieces are vaccinated.
Well, great. Finalmente, está concluyéndome Edward que existe mucha información alrededor de la vacunación. Siempre va a haber gente que va a generar polémica, que va a decir cosas, y que él comenta que una vez que se hace el análisis de esa información que está dando este tipo de personas, te das cuenta que muchas veces es sensacionalismo y no hay realmente nada de ciencia ni de datos duros detrás de esta información. Él considera que estas vacunas son de las mejores vacunas que se han podido generar, son muy seguras, son muy eficientes, y realmente recomienda que vacunemos a nuestros hijos para prevenir este tipo de problemas, ¿no? Cáncer cervicouterino, vulvar, vaginal, de cuello. Y bueno, y finalmente, bueno, era un poco de broma, le pregunto que si él está vacunado. Me dice, bueno, no, yo no, porque ya soy grande, pero sí todos mis nietos y mi familia que lo amerita, bueno, pues está vacunado. Tu hijo, ¿no? You have a boy, right?
A son.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, boy.
Sí, y su hijo, no le dije, y su hijo están vacunados. Pues bueno, pues así es como lo hace el doctor Edward Mayor. Edward, thank you very much for being with us again.
Glad to be here.
Esto fue ¿Y tú cómo lo haces? Un podcast de Comedor.